All right, our prelude hymn today is 580, Lead On, O King Eternal.
Before we get started this morning, I would like to ask speaking friend to step up here for just a second, if you would.
Oh, no.
I narrowed that down to the only person that it could possibly be here this morning.
Okay, what have I done now?
You've done nothing.
Actually,
well, she has.
Actually, you it's have. Turn and face your friends here. Just wanted to, you don't have to sing or anything. We just wanted to take a second and acknowledge that Pat has officially joined the congregation as a Chesterville member of our church. And I just wanted to take a second, yes. I just wanted to take a second and, one, say you've always been one of us anyway, but I like to notify the devil that you are here and you are with us and we will do everything.
You are a part of us. You're a part of us.
I just want to say how proud I am to be here and how much I love this church. And how much I love all of you. You took me under my wing and I was in a great deal of disguise. I've just never forgotten. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for this.
You've been a blessing. Let me pray for you and then we'll get our service started. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Pat. We thank you for who she has already been in our congregation. We thank you that she's taken the step of membership to officially join us. God, we just thank you for all you do in this community, in this congregation. We look forward to tomorrow and next week and next month and next year as we follow your will and your guidance. We ask that you protect her, that you give her your peace, that you spend time with her on a daily basis. And we look forward to what we have in store together here at Chesterfield Community Church. We love her.
Sunday morning, beautiful spring morning. I told
I saw a red-winged blackbird this week and a groundhog out in the field, so spring's not here, it's on its way. You had a robin? Okay.
We have crocuses.
Crocuses are out, Ben. Blooming?
Yeah, we have some too.
The only announcement we have is ad meeting after church. Any other announcements? Yes, sir.
As of the end of last week, it's 100 days until the Mora County Group Missions trip starts with something like 300, 350 kids showing up at Mount Gilead High School. Doing a lot of work around the county. There's tons and tons of volunteer opportunities even now, but certainly the week before, the week of camp, and the week after camp, there's lots of stuff to do. So if you have a heart to take a look at that, maybe lend a hand. Give me a holler. It's everything from baking cookies to moving ladders to Prince the ladder guy. I'm sure he could use a hand. All kinds of stuff, so pretty exciting.
Great. Sounds good. 100 days, huh? Any other announcements?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
No other announcements? Let's please have our invocation. Please join me in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. As we begin the spring season, listening to the birds, wonderful to hear. Jesus, your journey to the cross was full of betrayal, grief, torture, darkness. Yet your love for us, your people, propelled you onward. Help us to comprehend during this Lent season just how powerful that love is. That you would suffer such a cruel death to make a way for us to be with you in glory forever. What a gift. What a gift, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Our call to worship is in your insert. Come, let us gather in the presence of the one who calls us to true life.
We come to worship the risen Savior.
Hear the words of our Lord Jesus. The Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected, killed, and after 3 days rise again.
Yet in our human weakness, we resist the way of the cross.
Like Peter, we may stumble, but Christ rebukes the tempter and invites us. Whoever wishes to come after me must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me.
For what profit is there to gain the whole world if we forfeit our souls?
Today, let us lose our lives for his sake and the gospel, that we may find eternal life in him.
Let us worship the risen Savior, who leads us through suffering to glory. Praise be to God.
Amen. The Bible stands is on the other side of your insert.
We had a nice little visit with, today we were talking about this song. It's one of my very favorites. Please pay attention to the words. The tune is nice enough, but it's here because of the words, and I think it's, even though it's over 100 years old, I think it's amazingly relevant for the days in which we live.
Please stand.
And we will play it down once, and then we'll sing together.
The Bible stands like a rock.
Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, another beautiful day. Allow us to live and absorb the goodness of our days. We thank you for the lives that you have given each one of us, the talents that you have given us throughout our lives. And we ask that you accept this small token back to you in the form of our tithes and our offerings. As always, we ask that you multiply these funds, that you keep us ever mindful and present as to their proper use, the use that glorifies you and furthers your kingdom in this community and beyond. We thank you for all you are and all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Concerns and praises? Let him know. Let him know he's been in our prayer.
Well, it's the second Sunday in March, and I was just looking. Easter is the 5th of April, and as nice as the poinsettias look, if you can get them. It's time for them, and it's finally warm enough on Sunday for them to go outside.
Yeah.
So,
you guys can go outside.
So many of these Sundays, it's been 20 degrees.
Right.
They don't like cold.
It's nice to have them up here, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. It's
going to be cold. I got two actually. A growth in his mouth, and they did a biopsy because it was growing. And as of Friday, they told him it was not. So that's a blessing. It has to be addressed, but not healed.
Wow, he's had a hard time.
Yes.
And you got another one?
Yep, Travel Mercy came to assist me in going to two events this weekend since I can't drive after dark. So they were leaving this morning, they left this morning to go back home. So Travel
Okay, great.
And a praise that they got to come.
Yes.
We went to seventh grade band concert on Thursday night, so they play trombone.
Good band already.
Does it get any better than the seventh grade band concert?
Well, we got the eighth and the high school. We got all three. So.
And I can only say that because I was a participant in many seventh grade band.
Thank you for that.
Doesn't get any better.
That's some rough music there, boy.
Little passy.
Not bad.
I just want to say quickly, my wife and I had a great visit yesterday. We just hung out with, gave us some history of the church and what's going on. And if as the people in this church are as nice as those two are, we really look forward to being and putting down some roots here. So thank you all.
We're nice, sir.
So thank you.
I'll piggyback on that. Thank you. But my daughter and her family are, and her in-laws are traveling this week in the Caribbean. So ask for travel mercies. This wouldn't be a time that I would choose to travel. So I'm feeling a little uneasy, but at the same time, trusting that they will be fine. So thank you for your prayers.
And we have one yesterday, and all of her earthly belongings headed off with three friends come to help her move. And she has a very good group of friends up there that she went to University of Buffalo with. So she's starting a new chapter. We'll miss her greatly. I guess it's a bit of a concern because we won't be able to clap eyes on her. And she still needs to find the Lord and be comfortable with the woman God made her to be.
Amen.
But We sent her off with a hug, so this prayer is over her and us, and start of a different chapter there. So.
And a hurting mom's heart.
So thank you all.
I'd like to add for myself, I saw the surgeon on Tuesday, right. And as of now, we have to do number 3. It's going to be more extensive. I just wanted all to be done. I'm sure that's what Tammy thought.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't say how soon. She already knows, so I need to do it.
Travel mercies, so they'll pass
just
somewhere.
No.
Somewhere.
Between here and North Carolina.
Huh.
Hopefully they won't meet each other.
People on the move.
We're glad to have you and Alan part of our church. I'd have you guys come and be a part. Anyone else? Go to prayer, Pastor.
All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your touch, your presence. We thank you that we know in our souls that no matter how dark the night gets, that you promised that dawn will be arriving soon. God, we just have so many of our friends and family traveling right now. We just ask that you would be with each one of them as they are on their journeys. We ask that you are with her as she heads to a new chapter in New York. God, we ask that you are even now preparing for that time, that place where you will put somebody or something in her way that will demonstrate your love, your mercy, your sovereignty over her, her life, her choices. Just ask in the meantime that you care for her. Give peace during the separation that she is okay. We just ask that you are with her as she travels physically today. We ask that you're with family as they are traveling outside of the country. We just ask that you are with them in this time of turmoil and trouble. We ask that you are with, she travels back. We ask that you are with, they are traveling too. God, we just pray in what appears yet to be another surgery. God, if it is your will, we ask for a healing. He continues to deal with his back issues. But God, if healing is not in your plan, we just ask for comfort and peace. An ability to control the pain, the disappointment, frustration. And we know that you are willing and able to do all of those things for not only these two whom we love, but everyone who is suffering. We ask that you're with, he continues to research whatever the problem is, the growth is, and his, be with him, be with the medical staff as always, that as they seek to find an answer, that they would be quick, it would be positive. You would put friends and family in Scott's way to hold and to pray with and to love on. God, as we enter this third week of Lent, as we move toward the death and the resurrection of your Son, that singular event in all of history that has redeemed us, that has given us hope, has given us purpose, has given us a reason to live. Let us not allow that to be a singular event, a day in our year, in our lifetime. It is an event that is there for all eternity. I know I speak for this congregation and so many in the world. We are just tired, God. We are tired of the influence that the enemy has on our kids, on our grandkids, on our neighbors, on our friends, on our society. And I know your return is your business and not ours. But until that event happens, God, we just pray for your comfort, your grace, and your love to wash over not only this community, but the world. We ask that you protect our military as they are exercising and taking care of their commands. That you would be with Israel, that you would be with all of the innocent citizens of the world. God, we would ask that you would change some hearts and some minds and some philosophies. That all that we do and all that we say point to that cross. The cross where you hung. Where you died, where you descended into hell, where you beat and defeated death. More importantly, where you rose again, and where you ultimately ascended to the right hand of your Father, where you sit and you control and you love and you guide through your Spirit. And God, I just ask that you join us as we share that prayer together. Prayer that you gave us, that prayer that demonstrates your love and your mercy and your grace for us. That prayer that we can keep in the depths of our minds and in our souls, that we can recall it when needed. That prayer that says, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
I'd love to tell a story. One of the, my experience, one of the...
Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah. In my study Bible, this chapter is worn. I go to it several times. Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 12. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root of dry ground. He had no form of majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. As to one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. By his bruises we were healed. And we like sheep have gone astray, we have all turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. And like a lamb is led to slaughter, and like a sheep before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked, and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence. There was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death, and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The cost of true discipleship.
Post-resurrection, we read that passage in Isaiah, and it is so powerful. Pre-resurrection, I'm not sure you hear that at the time. It's an indication of what's to come from a prophet. But as I sit and I listen to it, as you know, Lynn said, it's a well-worn chapter. In light of what we know is about to happen in the life of Christ, it's difficult to read that oftentimes. The IRS received a letter a number of years ago. It said, "Gentlemen, enclosed you'll find a check for $150. I cheated on my income tax return last year and I have not been able to sleep ever since. If I still have trouble sleeping, I will send you the rest. Sincerely." Cost of filing taxes. I've often gone through my Christian life thinking, man, particularly my early Christian life, before I really started putting some pieces together, those disciples were so lucky. They got to walk and serve with Jesus Christ. What an honor. What a way to serve. We have to hold off for a second and realize that their lives became very difficult very quickly. As ours can be Jesus promises us no bed of roses. He promises us trouble and turmoil. He promises us the rule of the enemy. I was watching something on some online something yesterday, and it was a question to a pastor that has a site. I have no idea who he is, but what he said was profound. His question was, the question, it was a some sort of conference, and somebody had stood up and asked him, if God, I know, Pastor, we've all asked this question, but why, with all of the power and the control that God has over eternity and the universe, why did, when Satan fell and when half of the angels fell with him, why didn't he just send them away and be done with this? I'm guessing that's not a question that has never been asked by somebody in this congregation. I think it's something we all think about. Why did God have to give him free reign over the world? And the pastor's answer was fairly in-depth and somewhat complicated, but the bottom line is, without the reign of the enemy, we could never have the victory. This was a plan that God had instigated long ago. He knew who was going to win, but he knew that there was a cost, not only for you and for me, but ultimately for his very son, who would come down in the form of a man, who lived a sinless, perfect life, who never complained, who never griped, who never said a curse word. And yet, as Isaiah shares, he was crushed. He was beaten. For no reason, for no purpose other than you and me. That story carries with it a lot of obligation from the point of the disciples that walked with Christ, but also for you and for me this morning. Scripture that I'm referencing is from the Gospel according to Mark, the 8th chapter, verses 31 through 38. Can you imagine for a moment that we are on a journey with a close friend, someone who we have trusted? You've seen miracles, healings, feedings of thousands. And you're convinced that this person is the key to a brighter future. Now remember, please, that biblical times are not as sterilized as VeggieTales would have us believe, or some of the stories that we hear about the birth of Christ. Biblical times were rough. Biblical times were filled with death and destruction and misery, and people taking advantage of other people. There was no urgent care. There was no medical facilities. There were no educational schools, except if you were going into the ministry of some sort. You were pretty much on your own. It was rough and tumble. It was miserable. And these men who walked with Jesus thought, ha, this guy's going to do it for us. This guy's going to take all of the death and all of the problems and all of the abuse that we've suffered all of our lives, and he's going to ride in on his big white horse, and he's going to smite all of the powerful, and we will raise again in comfort and love that Jesus talks about. But then out of nowhere, they start talking about suffering and rejection and death. Think about that. How would we react if we were in that situation? Would you pull them aside and say, "No way, this can't be the plan, Jesus. This can't be what we are suffering for"? But that's exactly the scene that's unfolding in Mark 8:31-38. Jesus has been declared the Messiah by Peter in the previous verse. "Who do they say I am, Peter?" Some say, "But you are the Messiah, Peter." What a guy. As troubling as Peter was, I think if I had one of the disciples that I would like to be, it would be Peter. Peter got in a lot of trouble. He got in a lot of messes, but man, he was there. He would stand up. He would say what he felt needed to be said. But now, after being declared the Messiah, he pivots to the hard truth. So let's take a second and dive into that passage, because it challenges us to rethink what it means to follow Jesus, not as a path to easy glory, but as a call to costly discipleship. Verse 31 and 32, "He began to teach them the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him." Rebuke him. Rebuke in Scripture is a heavy, heavy word. Maybe this isn't the time that I would like to be with Peter, like Peter, rebuking the Lord. But Peter was so convinced that this wasn't the plan that he went to Jesus and said, "This can't be the way this is supposed to go." Jesus doesn't sugarcoat it. He uses the title Son of Man, echoing Daniel 7, where it's a figure of divine authority. And this is the kind of thing that gets Jesus in trouble with the Pharisees and the religious. But instead of triumph, he foretells of suffering, rejection, death, and yes, ultimately, thankfully, resurrection. This wasn't the Messiah the disciples expected. They wanted a conqueror to overthrow Rome, not a suffering servant like was recorded in Isaiah 53. Peter, ever the bold one, can't handle it. He rebukes Jesus. The word rebuke is the same one Jesus uses against demons. Peter. Peter. But how often do we do something similar? We want a Jesus who fixes our problems, a promoter of our comfort, not a challenger of our expectations. But Jesus speaks plainly here. There's no room for misunderstanding. The cross isn't an accident. It is the plan. Verses 33 through 35, the rebuke and the call. But when Jesus turned and looked at all the disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Got you back, buddy. Go behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Let's remember that again. You don't have the concerns of God, but merely the human concerns. And that's why the cost of discipleship is so high, is because ultimately it's the cost, It's the will of God that we are to do, regardless of what it does to our human comfort and condition. Then he called the crowd to him along with the disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it." That, in my opinion, is the definition of a disciple. Those who are willing to give up our lives on a daily basis, take our cross on our shoulder, and walk with Christ. Regardless of the cost, regardless of the pain, regardless of the confusion, to walk with Christ. Jesus turns the table with a sharp rebuke. "Get behind me, Satan." He's not calling Peter the devil, but he's recognizing that Peter's words echo the temptation that he had in the wilderness to seek power without pain. Human concerns prioritize self-preservation, success, and security. God's concerns, simply redemption through sacrifice. That's all that God's looking for. Redemption of your soul and my soul for all eternity through the sacrifice and the pain of his Son. Then Jesus expands the invitation to the crowd. If you want to follow me, deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow. Deny yourself means dethroning your ego, your plans, and your rights. And taking up the cross wasn't metaphorically to them. It evoked the Roman execution, a public shame. Following Jesus means embracing suffer for his sake. And the paradox, trying to save your life by clinging on to it leads to loss. But losing your life for Jesus and the gospel, that's where true life is found. In our world of self-help and instant gratification, this is countercultural. We chase life, promotions, and comfort zones, but Jesus says real life comes from surrender. And finally, verses 36 through 38, the eternal perspective. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when it comes to his Father's glory with the holy angels. Jesus drives it home with questions that pierce the heart. Gaining the world, faith, wealth, fame, and power means nothing if you lose your soul. It's like winning a game but forfeiting eternity. And the warning, if we're ashamed of Jesus now in the culture that mocks faith, he will be ashamed of us at his return. This isn't about earning salvation. It's about the authenticity of our discipleship. True followers aren't ashamed. They are boldly. They live boldly for him. I've often, you see, different news events in different circumstances where people are held at gunpoint to denounce their faith in Christ or they will be executed. Sorry to say, that's not a hypothetical. There are those in our world where that is happening too at this moment. My prayer for myself is that I, in that same situation, would stand firmly against the devil and embrace Christ as the one that I follow and serve. And if my death on this earth is the ultimate cost of my discipleship, I know that the promise of eternity is great, is promised, is done. So what does this mean for us today in 2026 in Chesterville, Ohio? First, we're to examine our expectations of Jesus. Is he our genie or is he our Lord? If life's hardship makes us question him, remember the cross was the path to resurrection. Your sufferings might be the road to deeper faith. The only thing that God wants for you and for me is a deeper faith, a deeper experience between him and us. And sometimes for that faith to grow deep, it has to go through the darkness and the trouble and the problems. Because on the other side, when God delivers us in whatever form, whether a healing from that particular darkness or ultimately death into his arms and eternity, he promises an end and a relief. Second, practice self-denial each and every day. It could be forgiving when it's hard, serving the overlooked, or speaking the truth in a hostile world. We're to take up our cross every day, not a symbol of burden, but a purposeful sacrifice. I'm not dragging the cross because I'm a martyr. I'm dragging the cross. I'm carrying the cross. I'm lifting up the cross as an example of who I serve and the one who is with me and protects me and guides me and loves me forever. And third, we live with eternity in view. In a generation chasing fleeting gains, interested in what lasts is important. I've never seen Jesus's Instagram page or Facebook page or TikTok page. He's not interested in clicks. He's not interested in likes. He's not interested in anything but you and your heart and your love and your care. We have a society that is willing to throw people away too quickly. And Jesus wants all of us to know that he is there with us and for us. Jesus isn't calling us to a comfortable Christianity. He's calling us to himself through the cross to glory. If you're here today feeling the weight of this, know that his grace empowers us. And if you would, pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, the cost of following you is certainly death, as it was for all of your disciples. But the cost of not following you is death as well. None of us get out of this alive. So the question then becomes, what's on the other side? For those who don't believe in eternity, for those who think that we're weak because we follow this person, Jesus Christ, in the hopes that we will have something better to live for. You make your promises very clear in Scripture. That you promise that there is greatness beyond this life. Think of all of our loved ones who have passed. We don't know if they're in fully heaven at this point. We don't know for sure what all of that looks like. You don't give us that kind of instruction, but what you do tell us is that when we leave here, the pain ends, the crying ceases, the greatness of your love and your countenance. light's shining down on us is magnified. God, we just ask that today we weigh the cost of discipleship, the cost of following you, as we walk through this Lenten season and ultimately through the celebration of your resurrection on Easter Sunday. Let us do so fully informed that the darkness that we walk through, the pain that we suffer, the things that we would rather not have to deal with are not because of you. They're not placed there by you to be a problem and a pain and a concern for us. They are the cost of living in a world where the enemy has dominion. But let us always remember that in the end, death is swallowed up by light. And we wait for your return. We're anxious for that day. But God, until that day, give us the things that you would have us do, the people that we would have, you would have us talk to and embrace and share about your love and your commitment. Because that is our purpose as a follower and a disciple of yours. Let us stand boldly and confidently against the world that says Jesus and God is insignificant. Let us stand against that and prove them wrong each and every day that we wake up and deny ourselves and carry your cross until your return. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Our closing hymn is one that's hopefully very familiar to most people, often sung in Sunday school, but we thought it would be a great thing for us as adults to sing because it's what we need to be doing all the time, is shining our light. And when we get to verse 2, I want to hear some good no's. Now, as we leave this place and go to our meeting to serve the church some more, do so with the spirit of Peter, allowing your words to be tempered
and spoken in the love and the grace that is Christ. Go in his power and in his love. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.